freezing outside. The rain's coming down. You daven Maariv already tonight. And you're getting ready. You take a hot shower. And suddenly, you get a text. You're in your pajamas. You're all cozy and you get a text. You got a WhatsApp. Need one for Maariv. And you're just like, come on. I was about to get under the covers. I was about to just, you know, be able to be in my own walls and with my heat on high, with the cold Vesein Talamata Levracha outside. Need one for Maariv. You gotta love WhatsApp. That was the purpose of WhatsApps for those minyanim. Need one for Maariv. Yaakov Avinu in this week's parasha introduces Tfilas Arvis. Vayivka b'amokum v'yolen shom. Yaakov Avinu is poigea suddenly to a certain area. Vayivka, and Chazal tell us vayivka b'amokum that he was metakin Tfilas Arvis. The whole concept of Vayifka and Tikin, it's like a little bit of a steer in Minei Ubei. Vayifka means you bumped into something. And Tikin means you were established something. You were metakin something. You premeditated something. You set up something. The whole concept of Takona with a Lashon that the Gemara in Brachas on Dav Chavav tells us is learned out from the Lashon of Vayifka. Needs explanation. And yet I'm looking at that WhatsApp and I start cheshbening to myself, I'm so cozy, I'm so warm right now, it's pouring outside, it's cold. And I say, wait a second, there's a Gemara in Brachas. The Ram tells us there's no Chazar Sashatz when it comes to Maariv. Why is there no Chazar Sashatz when it comes to Maariv, says the Rambam? Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Right. Baal Bas once told me, he's like, I never want my son to learn that Gemara. Tfilas Arvis Rishus. It's not like Shachris and Mincha. It's not like the other Tfilas. It's a lower level. It's optional. It's optional, literally translated. Tfilas Arvis Rishus. My high. What's the reason? Why is Yaakov such a bidyevet? Yaakov the Av. Yisroel, Bnei Yisroel, Yaakov's Takona, Yaakov's Tika and Tfilas Arvis didn't make the cut. He didn't make second cut, he never made varsity. Why? What happened? And what happens in this pasuk? Vayifka b'amokom, vayikach me'avne amokom, vayosem mirashoysov, vayishka b'amokom ahu. Yaakov Avinu in that vayifka that Chazal say, ooh, what was Yaakov metakin? Yaakov was metakin. Well, Yaakov was metakin what? Arvis. That's not what the Pesukim say. Pesukim say he goes to sleep. Pesukim say that he took some stones. And what do Chazal tell us? What does the Gemara tell us, Rabbi Yisai? Vayikach me'avne hamakom. Vayikach me'avne hamakom. And then the Gemara makes a drasha, right? That's not the end of the story. If you go a few Pesukim later, in Pasuk Yud Chet, we're in Yud Aleph. Vayivka b'amokom. Vayikach me'avne amokum vayosav mirash osav. Right, he put the avonim out right by his head, and there were many stones. Right, but then if you look in pasuk Yud Ches, pasuk says what? Vayashkim Yaakov abeikav vayikach es ha'even. What happened? So we all know Chazals tell us that the many stones became one stone. Now, ultimately, what does Yaakov do with that stone? Vayosem oisa matseva vayitzik shemen al rosha. Yaakov in the makom hamikdash makes a matseva and is makdish the mizbeach, right? And he makes a neder. Vayeven azoyis asher samti matseva yia beis elohim. This should be the house of Hashem. V'chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach. And I will be there for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and give meiser to you. So the Medrash tells us that this fascinating story that we all learn when we're younger, the Gemara that tells us that there was a nes, that there was a nace with many stones that became one stone. Fascinating story. So the Medrash says, what was happening? What was the purpose of that nace? So the Gemara says, the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu was unsure about something. Does anyone know how many stones there were in the beginning of the parasha, Rabbi Yisai? 12 stones. 12 stones has a lot of significance. There's something else that we all know that was 12, which was what?
Shvatim.
The Shvatim. Says the Medrash, Yaakov Avinu had a suffix. He knew that ultimately there was going to be a bearer of different Shvatim. But Yaakov Avinu wasn't sure if it was going to be him. Kodesh Baruch Hu demonstrated through this nace that he would be the father of the 12 Shvatim. By how? By this nace. Now, Rabbi Yisai, I ask you a simple question on this Medrash. If I would want to demonstrate to you that you are going to be the leader and the father and the bearer of the 12 Shvatim, I wouldn't have the nace work out the way it did. If anything, the outcome of this nace would be that you might think that you're going to have 12 Shvatim, but really, you're going to have one child. Because you took 12 Shvatim and you made it into one stone. So what I would have had a nace, if I would have been the controller and the ruler of Nisim and Niflos in this world, I'm not trying to challenge the Rabbanu Shel Olam, but I would have said a little bit different than this pasuk. I would have made the drasha of Chazal a little bit different. I would have said you should start off with an even, vayikach as an even. And everybody said, I don't know how many pillows you guys use, but I use one pillow. You know, so I got one pillow, so I take one pillow. Okay, maybe it's fluffy, maybe it's thin. I don't know. We could talk about it, Mirtz Hashem, the next Shabbaton. We could talk about it if you like fluffy pillows, you like skinny pillows. But I would have taken one pillow. When I go to sleep, I get one pillow, I fluff it up, and I go to sleep one pillow. When I read, maybe I'll have two. But if my mom is sleeping, Yaakov was sleeping. Yaakov was dreaming in the next bus. Yaakov was taka sleeping. So he took one pillow. And then what happened? Comes along the Rabbeinu Shalom, comes along a nace nifla, and turned those stones into what? 12 different stones. That would be a signal that you are going to carry the future of Am Yisrael of the 12 Shvatim. It should be pum fakert, not this way. But Rabbi Yisai, I want to ask you one further kasha. Is there possibly a shaychis with these two things that are going on in Pasuk Yud Aleph? Vayifka b'amokum ahu, and Yaakov suddenly bumped in, and Chazal tell us he didn't just bump, but for some reason that weird word bump is what? What's going to tell us this concept of Yaakov Tikin Tfilas Arvis. Mariv. We need one for Mariv. That concept. And that concept again is Tfilas Arvis, not like Shachris, not like Mincha. Is Tfilas Arvis Rishos. Why? Why is it B'dievet? Why does it make the cod? But what does it also correlate and how does it flow into the next phrase in the Psukim? In the nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that these 12 stones became one. What is the underpinnings of this parsha? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us? But you say, Parsha's Vayetze is a parsha that right at the outset we all relate to. Unfortunately, Klal Yisrael for the last 2,000 years has related to. This is a parsha that says sometimes and often a yid is on the run. A yid is going to have to leave. A yid is going to have to embrace the concept of gullus, of being a nomad, of not being in your homeland, of not being cuddly and warm and confident in their hometown, and is going to be terrified, running for your life. Mamish, a guy with a gun that's running after you to kill you, you're running for your life. And you meet people on the way that are messengers of that guy, and the best rachmanis you can get is that they're going to mug you. Like that's already, I could say hagoyimo for that. Baruch Hashem, he didn't kill me. He only took all my money. And that's mamish. Yaakov Avinu was Maisa Ovasim and Labanim. This is what the leaving Eretz Yisrael is going to be. Vayetze, Eretz Yisrael, Malachim, Olam, Yordan, Bo, the different Malachim that are going to be escorting him. Now, the Malachim Eretz Yisrael are not going to be with him. He's leaving a life of confidence, a life of security, a life of clarity. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as he's embarking upon this dream that now is depicting to him that you're now going to leave. V'hinei Hashem nitzav olova, yoyimra, ani Hashem. Rabbi said, don't forget, this is the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to Yaakov. Ani Hashem elokei Avram avicha velokei Yitzchak ha'aretz asher ata shoychev olo elecha etnena. Ulezarecha, there's going to be a redemption. Vayezarecha kafara aretz ufaratz the yama vekedma vetzafon vodegma v'nivruchu bucha kol mishpachos adam abzarecha. It might be difficult now, but don't lose hope. Know that there's going to be a day that you're going to spread, that you're going to inhabit the land, that you're going to be back in that secure existence. I will be with you, and I will guard you. I just was able to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asher Somer Asher Yisov, and he took that what? That Evan, that now transformed from 12 Avonim to be one, which is obviously interlinked and connected to the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him as Yaakov was scared and fearful and in trepidation of the life of the Golos. What does all this mean? Listen carefully, Rabbi Yisai. I'm going to tell you what this means. Was a Rosh Hashiva of one of the biggest yeshivas in the world. Probably at his time it was the biggest yeshiva in the world. I had the schus to be meshamishim on a plane. When I went back to Eretz Yisrael after my first year of YU, I went back to Karen Biavne. Mamish unbelievable. It was a whole big chabura of people being Malave, the Rosh Hashiva, and I'm sitting there in my polo shirt and my khaki pants, and they walk up to me. I thought they were playing a joke on me. And they said, would you do me a favor and would you please be Meshamish the Rosh Hashiva on the plane? This Rosh Hashiva was Agoyin Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Lebrach. I don't know if any of you had the chance or if you were too young to ever witness him, to ever see his Avodas Hashem. That was mamish in Aliyah L'Regel. That was a re'iyah that was transformative. To look at this person suffering from Parkinson's. Suffering, and it was he couldn't hide it. Mamish, the shaking was all over. And he didn't want to take medication in order that he shouldn't forget 1 ounce of Torah. I remember sitting there for my faher, my bechina to get into the mir. I remember just in awe. He was reading a letter that Rav Schechter sent for me to join the yeshiva. And it just, you know, his tzidkus, is the way he was medaber, his sensitivity, and his hasmada, and his focus just on Dveikus B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu was remarkable. Remember when I realized it wasn't a joke and they Taka weren't being Malavim on the plane, they wanted me to take care of him. You know, just the sensitivity. You know, he didn't care that I was dressed differently, that I looked differently. I was like his son. He begged me. I remember I was such an idiot. He begged me to come for Shabbos. This is how going of nothing to be thinking. And I was just like, you know, I was like one of those yeshiva buckets. Yeah, I got to stay in the basement. I'm not into, like, you know, I'm not into these chavayas. Now, like, I might want to take a gun and shoot myself. I'm an idiot. You got the opportunity of a lifetime. Mamish, they were so indebted to me for help. I remember I had to walk with him on the plane, like as if, you know how you hold the, you dance in the middle with a chassan, you know, so your hands are up, right? It's interesting, actually. Whenever you dance with a Shechter, it's a killer. His hands raised. Whenever my hands are like killing, I don't work these biceps so much. So like my hand, yeah, I keep it up there for like hours. I remember, like, you know, when you dance, so it's also raised. But when with Rav Nosson Tzvi, it's like this, and because I don't know exactly what it was, but you had to hold him up like as if, and I was walking backwards, and that's the way we would walk to wherever he was going on the plane. That's the way we would walk. So, still remember, you know, when I was a yeshiva guy, so, you know, like, the whole big thing is, like, are you the guy who looks at the videos on the plane or you don't look at the videos on the plane? You know, that's, like, the big hack. Like, everyone's checking. Do you look at the videos? So I remember, like, I wasn't looking at the videos, you know, as Baruch Hashem, I was into learning, but I would, like, you know, I would check up, you know, like, that screen of, like, where the plane's holding. You know, I was like, where the... So, like, I remember, like, the Rebbetzin went to get me, like, right when I was looking at that, and I'm just like, oh, no, you know, like, I got red, and like, no, you don't understand, there's a plane. All right, whatever, forget it. But, so it was mamish, an unbelievable experience. There's a maisa that I heard from Rav Nosson Tzvi that really, I think, encapsulates the message that I want to suggest to everyone right now. New Mahalach. In Tfilas Arvis, and a new Mahalach in our Matzav in the Golos. And a new Mahalach in the way that we can, Mirtz Hashem, rebuild and get back to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says of Haratz, the Yom of Akedma, the Yashavta, Ba'aretz Hazos. There were a few Balabatim, wealthy, wealthy Balabatim. I love it. Whenever I say that, the guys wake up. Oh, I'm interested there. Right? Oh, exactly. Yeah, beautiful. Couldn't set it up better. So they were entrepreneurs, okay, investment bankers, and some accountants, yeah, and some veterinarians, and some guys in real estate, Rabbi Say, and some guy. It's all a matana from Shemayim. You can get it anywhere. That's why I'm saying all these random things. There are a few balabatim that came to visit the Rosh Shiva. Beautiful schus. You know, when you walk in there, the balabas that's telling over the story, you know, you really, like, go blank when you see such godless. And you see that, you see the person's perseverance and the person's, you know, lifestyle. And then you see how he radiates and how he talks. But I say, and keep in mind, I didn't give too much background over here. I remember Rav Nosson Tzvi once spoke to Ensi Swaikola. Okay? I remember when he spoke to Ensi Swaikola. Okay? He once got up there and he said, any boys here from Chicago? And a few boys raised their hands. Okay? And he says, any boys here go to Ida Crown? And a few boys raised their hands. Okay? And then he said, any boys here on the basketball team? Right? And these kids, like, cannot believe what's going on. And then he says, and then a few people raised their hand. And then he says, well, so was I. And that was the shmooze. That was the greatest shmooze ever. A Rosh Yeshiva of the greatest yeshiva in the world that just stayed with his uncle after the summer, never came back, became a Baki Bashas, but not only that, spread Ufaratz the Yama Vakedma, all Gans Torah, because his uncle believed in him, he believed in himself, and he realized he could do it, even though he did not necessarily have the lifestyle that necessarily what you would predict would end up like that. So Rav Nosson Tzvi turns to these balabatim, and they're sitting in his office while he's shaking and suffering, And he turns to them in his soft voice, and whenever you would hear of Nassan Tzvi, it would always start off the shmooze in a soft voice. But through the kayach of Abaye and Rava, through the kayach of Torah, no matter when he was speaking, it would always get stronger and stronger, because Torah is lamalim and ateva. It was an incredible sight to see that this person would be able to start talking with a louder voice and a stronger voice only because he's speaking Torah. And the Rabbeinu Shalom is putting the words in his mouth. And he turns to these entrepreneurs, to these balabatim, and he says to them, what is the most important message of the Holocaust? And each of these balabatim were not expecting that. The Holocaust. And they don't know how they're going to respond. And then the Rosh Yeshiva turns and points to the first one. And the first one said, we can never forget. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, no, that's not the message. And the Rosh Yeshiva turned to the next one. This next one was even more, he was more scared than the first one, because the first one already got rejected. It's like, what else? What? We can never keep silent. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, no, that was not the message of the Holocaust. And he went one by one to each of them, and they never got what the Rosh Yeshiva was looking for. And the Rosh Yeshiva said, let me tell you what the message of the Holocaust was. Let me tell you the message of the Holocaust. He said, I want you to close your eyes and picture for a second what it means to be in Auschwitz, to be in Bergen-Belsen. I was sitting yesterday with a woman in my shul who was a survivor. Couldn't believe the things I was hearing. It's unnormal. How her mother was just 38 years old, taken right in front of her. She's a 13 and a half girl. She told me Mengele Mamish like was about to take her and throw her to the crematorium, and her sister that she's sitting shiva right now saved her life. 3 years older than her. It's unbelievable what the Yidden went through. It's just, and you think about what we kvetch about, what we complain about. What they would do, she said to me, for a pouch that someone sold to her, that if she can get back today, that was the dearest possession, she would pay all the money in the world to get that pouch back, that now preserved that extra piece of bread that she had to live. Send her up to the Nassim, but what's the message of the Holocaust? He said, imagine you're a person like that. Your wife was taken away from you, your husband was taken away from you, your spouse, no longer. Your family is ripped apart. Children are shot dead right in front of you. No loved ones. Your brother, sister, your parents that you used to talk to and confide with are gone. And you have to sit there famished. Skin and bones. Not knowing what's going to be tomorrow, the next day, what the future is. It's not looking like anything's going to change. It's 6 years of this. Nothing to look forward to. Nothing to eat. And they would come back every night and lie on a hard rock. I don't even know if you could call it a bed. Levels, shelves, in a barrack. And six people, said Rav Nosson Tzvi, had one blanket. And what happened? They wouldn't take it for themselves. In that predicament, in that situation, they would make sure to position themselves and to envelop everyone into that one blanket. That is the message of the Holocaust. The blanket. Said Rav Nosson Tzvi. Klal Yisrael, broken, spread apart, mufuzer mufurad, not even having their immediate family, they made themselves into a family. They connected to one another And that is the message that we carry out from the Holocaust, to make sure that we combine and we envelop everyone under that one blanket. Moirei v'raboisei. That is what I see in the beginning of this week's parasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling Yaakov Avinu that you're going to have a lot of different children and you're going to have a great family that's going to have a lot of kindalach with a lot of grandchildren. That's not what it means to be a goy gadol, Raboisai. Klal Yisrael is not a great population. That's not what we mean when we say we're a goy gadol. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu symbolizes the uniqueness of Am Yisrael is to take 12 different Avonim, 12 different tribes, and teaches him that those tribes have the ability to persevere because they can combine to be one entity and get under one blanket. And combine into be one stone. You know what that means, Rabbi Isai? The koyach to survive in the galus is through what? Through the blanket. Through the Eben Achas. Through Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lo Ze. Not to be sensitive. Not to make a comment, oi, potombamish, be as the Ritva says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Choftes, ki guf echod. I am not taking care of myself, my own needs, until the Yid next to me might be a different shevet, might be a different smell, might be a different look. But he's a Yid, and I care. Not because I'm obligated, but because that's who I am. That's what we have to get out of the Golus. And it's ironic, because the Golus, the whole concept of the Golus, is not to be one. It's to be spread. Like Haman said, Hine am mefuzer mefur bin ha'amim. We spread like crumbs. We're so distant from one another. We're so different from one another. The challenge is to what? Is to overcome that. To recognize that we're still in Eben Achas, although we're Yud Beis Avonim. That's the koyach, that's the message, that's the nace that happens in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is what's going to be able to enable you to come back to this land, to this brocha, to this shmira, to this haftocha. But you got to internalize that. Rabbi Yisai, I had the schus to come across a moiradika pshat from a ilui, a goyin, that lived in the 1700s. He wrote a sefer called the Tiferes Shlomo. The Tiferes Shlomo was Rav Shlomo Rabinowitz from Radomsk, otherwise known as the Radomsker. The Radomsker was a goyin. They say when he was younger, in yeshiva, your age, he knew, not shas about that, he knew Urim v'tumim balpe. Rabbi Yoinus and Eibishitz, Rabbi Yisai. Right? Tom Kieker. Rabbi Yisai, listen to this ge'oinus of the Tiferes Shlomo. The Tiferes Shlomo is not found in our parsha. Tiferes Shlomo was found in Parshas Miketz. Talking about a totally different inyan, but a fascinating kasha. A kasha that I've asked you many years. I don't know if I've asked you, but I've asked Talmidim before you and other shmuzes. Something that bothered me for ages. Reuven comes up to Yaakov, and he presents him a plan, a strategy, an argument of why it's very logical and it makes a lot of sense for you to, although it's difficult, Rabbi Yankif, please give us Binyamin so that we can actually save our family and things can work out and we can build the future of Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov's not convinced. Even though Reuven takes out the graphs, brings out the military strategy, he's got all the pins on his jacket, to explain based on old conflicts and different things, and this is the strategy that's going to work. Yaakov doesn't speak to Yaakov. Yehuda comes over, doesn't really say anything, doesn't say any impressive arguments, doesn't present any, you know, convincing information. He says one phrase. What does he say, Rabbi Yisai? Which the Gemara learns in Baba Basra has halachic ramifications. Anoichi a'arvenu. What is the shayrish of a'arvenu, the Gemara in Baba Basra learns? Arif. Ayin resh ves. I am responsible. He is me, and I don't go without him. Wherever he goes, I goes. Wherever he exists, I exist. Moirei v'raboisai. Yaakov hears Anoichi Arvenu when he's approaching Golus Mitzrayim, when he's terrified of going down into Mitzrayim, which he should be, because ultimately that's going to be the existence of Klal Yisrael, from that shmooze for the next 210 years changing the whole history of Jewish history. The whole blueprints of the Jewish history of Klal Yisrael. That was that word, Anoichi A'arvenu. And then Yaakov says, okay, Beseder, we could do it. Afterwards, everything moved. There wasn't even a conversation when Yaakov came down ultimately. That was the hesitation, and that was what convinced Yaakov to say, okay. Says the Radomsker, what is Yehuda telling Yaakov? In a world of galus, in a world of Holocaust, in a world of struggle, in a world that started in Parshas Vayetze, running from that murderer Esav, in a world of fear, what is the one thing that will allow us to survive and rebuild and persevere and allow us to come back to the Avtocha? It's one thing. It's when a Yid says about his friend, I am his Arev, I am responsible for him, and I care about him. And I am willing for him. And I desire for him. And he is me and I am him. And his success is my success. I don't exist apart from him. I can't be warm under a blanket without his warmth under the blanket. Anoichi arvenu, I am an arev. And there's halachic ramifications. I'm not going to get into this. The Marba Babasar Kufayin Hey that learns out from this Pasuk Parshas Miketz, that a person is monetarily obligated to pay a loan if he's an Arev. There could be ribbis d'oraisa between a Jew and a Jew, even if he's not the lender. Arev, Arvus. Tremendous lama ramifications. You can be Makadosh a woman with this. Not for now. So many sugis that come out of that. But what's the underpinning, Rabbi Yisai? What's the message? Forget the details right now. What's the message? Arev. The only way we can survive is if we ignore the physical reality of being Am Mefuzer Mefurad and rebuild in Evan Achas and connect to one another. We might be 12 Avonim in this existence in the Golus. It might be difficult. We're a lot of different sprinkles. But if we come together and we reconnect, Raboisai, that will bring the Geula. Says the Radomsker, everybody makes a mistake. That they think that the root and the shirish of Tfilas Arvis comes from Erev. Zokt the Radomsker, Tfilas Arvis comes from Arvis in the nighttime when it's difficult, when it's scary, when you don't know what's coming next, when you want to just protect yourself under that blanket or on that cold night after saying the same talumot levracha, and you're all cozy and you just want to veg and do my own thing. You go out there and you say, I need to bring the geula. I need to forge together and take my 12 different avonim and become Evan Achas. Vayifka b'mokomahu. I didn't create this reality. I didn't ask for a Holocaust. I didn't want to be here. I just bumped into this. Vayifka. Now what? What do I do now? Zokt Chazal in the Gemara Brachis. Yaakov tikin tfilas orev. Yaakov was metakin a tfila that you have to answer the WhatsApp and say, I davened already, but I'll be there in a second, because if you didn't daven, then I didn't daven. And I am orev on your behalf, Rabbi Yisai. And that's what's going to bring me back to this Havtocha of the Rabbi Nishalom in this Zman of entering the Golos that Yaakov told me. And the two ideas in this Pasuk of Yaakov Tikin Tfilas Arvis and Avne Hamokom becoming Evan Hamokom are all one in the same. The only way we're going to survive Golos Mitzrayim, Golos Esav, Golos Edom, Golos Holocaust is all if we get the blanket, is all if we take care of what's left and we come together. Rabbi Yisrael, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that the din and the halacha and the chiyuv of Arvus only exists in Eretz Yisrael. We learn from the psukim by Ochon that only once Klal Yisrael passed through the Aver Ayard in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Mem Gimel Amud Beis tells us, only once they passed in to Aver Hayardin, then there was a chiyuv of Arvus. Then you got no choice. Then you got a chayva. It's got to be this way. And the Maharal, Rabbi Yisrael, the Maharal says so beautifully, and this is not just a Maharal in Agodas, Rabbi said the Avnei Nezer in his Tshuvas in Yoredeya brings down this Maharal Halacha. I remember when Rabbi Hartman and I had one day we spent together and we were discussing different Maharals. Rabbi Hartman, now the footnotes on the Maharal. We were discussing different Maharals that make it La Halacha, that are not just Chidushi Agodas. So I told him this Maharal. The Avnei Nezer is Mechadish, this Maharal that has Nafkaminas La Halacha. The Avnei Nezer says, the Maharal says, I'm not going to tell you what the Avnei Nezer extrapolates like this mamish, a psak la'alocha that affects all of your shailos of Lifnei Iver. But we're not going to get into that right now because it's a parsha shmos. But Rabbi Yisai says the Maharal, the reason why the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Arvis is only a chiyuv where in Eretz Yisrael is because it can't exist anywhere else as a chiyuv. Because Klal Yisrael is like a bunch of liquid. It's like a water. It's like water so you need what? Liquid is going to spread all over what? If we don't have the kli to hold it. So it says the Maharal, so the chiyuv is just in Eretz Yisrael, because what? Because there we have the kli. Because there we have the zach. Because there we have the item that could hold us. So there, Arvus is a chiyuv. But perhaps, the challenge in the Golos, when we're an Am Mefuzer or Mefurit, when we're spread out, and that is the punishment of not being able to stay together, and that's why we lost Eretz Yisrael, perhaps our challenge, Rabbi Yisrael, and our Nisayon, is, can you connect mitin reshus? Can you volunteer that arvus? Can you come together and daven a tefilas mariv, even though technically it's not necessarily a chiv, and a person katayna? What do you mean? You sent me into the Golos. There's no kli over here. We're an Am Mefuzer Mefurid. Tfilas Arvis is Rishos. Wherever Rabbi say Tfilas Arvis is Rishos. But what does the Shulchan Aruch tell us? What do the Rishonim tell us? Kvar Shavu Alai Kechoiva. We as Am Yisrael accepted upon ourselves to take Tfilas Arvis and to make it that it's as if it's an obligation. It's an obligatory thing. We recognize that this is the only way out of the Golos. is if we start connecting to one another, is if we start becoming responsible for one another, is if we start becoming arev to one another, is if we start davening mariv and responding to those WhatsApps. And not literally that WhatsApp, Rabbi Yisai, but in all those forms that you get to ask those questions. It's not my responsibility. That's out of my domain, my reality. He's not in my chevra. He's not for me. No, Baruch Hashem, it's not me. It's not my family. It's not my community. It's not my shnit. It's not my chevra. That's not going to get us out of the golos. That's against the parsha of Vayetze. This is a message for everyone. But are you guys, Rabbi, said the B'nai Torah? Where's the arvis? Where's the connection? Where do we care? Where's the blanket? Where's the even? Why aren't we acting? Why aren't we responding? So many people are suffering. Do we care? Can we say Anoichi Arvenu like Yehuda did, the Melech of Am Yisrael? Then we're going to just stick around in the Golos forever, and it's going to be your responsibility. Because you didn't step up to the plate. Not with all the arguments. Not with Reuven's presentation. Not with the convincing message. Not with the strategy. The Rebbein Shalom doesn't want strategy. Rebbein Shalom wants to know, can you make yourself into an Evan Achas? And that each and every one of us has the ability to do. To start caring. There's no one in this room and there's no one in Yiddishkeit that doesn't have that capability. To say two simple words. Anoichi a'arvenu. I want to accept upon myself tefilas arvis. Tefilas arvis roshos. To be an arif. To connect these stones. And to change and bring back Klal Yisrael to the Haftocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us at the beginning of this week's parasha. We might not have the kli here. We might not have the land. We might not be feeling it, but they didn't have it in the Holocaust either. And that's the message of Nosson Tzvi says we need to take away. And we need to continue that message. And we need to have that message live on. And remember what those Jews did for each other with the blankets. That's in a world of Torah, Rabbi Yisai, helping each other out. That's in a world of Parnasa, helping each other out. But most importantly, Rabbi Yisai, it's in a world of sensitivity, of care, of speech, of asking a person how he's doing, of having an awkward conversation sometimes, to go out of my comfort zone, to discuss something, to open up to someone, to try to help someone out. Stop making so many walls. Stop keeping the Avonim 12 separate stones. That's not a good pillow. Okay, no one wants to sleep on 12 pillows. No one wants to sleep in such a matzif. Don't leave it mefuzer and mefurid. Consolidate. Become one. And then it'll be matzah minis mino. The Rebbeinu Shalom will see Am Yisrael acting like this. How could I not respond by giving them the kli? They congealed. They became one. They became a zach. So now the only fitting place for such an entity is what? Is Eretz Yisrael? Is Mokom HaMikdash? Is V'samti Es Ha'Even Hazois Matzeva to be the Mokom HaMikdash? The Even Achas. That will bring the Geula. That will bring the Avoida. That will bring Iskarvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yisai, it mamish fits together like Lego. But we just have to wake up. We have to start making some changes in our lives. We have to start davening Marv. Start davening Marv even when it hurts. Even when it's inconvenient. Even when it's not so smooth. And Amir Tzashem, by Yikra Hashem Ahu Beisel, and Yaakov will make Matzeva. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the Avoida and the Geula to emanate from Oso Makom as it did in Parshas Vayetze.